Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a very good episode. Canes and the Louisville Cardinals in the Canes home finale Saturday afternoon, 12 noon at Hard Rock Stadium. It'll be on ABC. Matt, introduce yourself to our audience, please.
I am Matt McGavick. I am the University of Louisville writer for Sports Illustrated, writing for their site, Louisville Report. Been on the Louisville beat since about 2017. Had a brief stop in Atlanta on the Georgia Tech beat, but other than that, for about half a year, I've been covering the Cardinals professionally since 17. And yeah, it's certainly been an up and down amongst all the sports since then, that's for sure.
Yes, needless to say, with basketball, which is another different, which is another subject entirely, which we'll get to another day. But yeah, the reason I have you on, Matt, and thank you for joining me, by the way. Look, we all know how good Louisville, they don't stand out on film to you, but they just keep winning. And I look at these numbers. I look at Louisville, 27th ranked offense in the country, and they're very good defensively, allowing just 300 yards per game. I mean, that's the one that stands out to me. Give our audience an idea of what to know about Louisville and how good they've been this year.
So obviously defensively they've done really well numbers wise and on film, especially in their front seven heading into the season. Louisville's defense, I mean, it wasn't as talked about as the offense was, just because we know Jeff Brohm is an offensive minded coach. His bread and butter is high flying passing offenses. So like the main storyline for Louisville heading into the season is, oh, okay, the passing game is going to light up the scoreboard, but how good is the defense going to be? Because the defense lost a lot of production from a unit that led all of college football in sacks. So that was the big question there. And honestly, like a lot of the guys that did return, a lot of the guys that they were able to pull out of the transfer portal, combined with the scheme that first-year defensive coordinator Ron English had put together, it's been really disruptive. They've had one guy who's kind of been like their standout, but other than that, they've had a bunch of guys behind him. Ashton Gelati, who's the star defensive end, who's I think like top two or three in the ACC in tackles for loss and sacks. But everyone else has been average to above average. It's been really like a defense by committee. They've been really disruptive up front. They've won the line of scrimmage more often than not. And not only that, the coaching staff does a good job of kind of scheming them up to kind of get a free blitzer to kind of shoot the gap to kind of make it tough for opposing offenses to really get going, whether it is through the air or on the ground with their passing game, especially since their bye week where they fell to Pitt beforehand. They kind of had a couple weeks to stew on that. And so they took that time as an opportunity to kind of like regather themselves, regroup, like how can we learn from this moving forward? And ever since then, the defense has been playing lights out, save for the third quarter against Virginia.
Yeah, about that Virginia game last week. I mean, to me, when I was watching that little clip on that game, to me, it stood out to me. This team found a way to win. Good teams find ways to win. To me, I saw that team and said, this team said, okay, we're not going to give up. We're gonna keep battling. I think, like Jeff Prom said, I believe he said, 60-minute game. It's a 60-minute game.
Yeah, they've operated with the quote-unquote one-game season mentality all year. And frankly, given what I saw under Scott Satterfield, the previous head coach, that's probably been one of the biggest positive surprises, just because under Satterfield's tenure, I mean, Louisville was a team that routinely gave up games either in the second half or the fourth quarter. I mean, by God, I can count on both hands like how many times that Louisville probably choked away a game in the late stages that they probably should have won. But I mean, this team in Jeff Brohm's first year as the head coach, they've already displayed numerous times that they have the mental resolve, the mental fortitude, and just the execution and the will to kind of finish strong. I mean, their very first game against Georgia Tech, they were down 28-13 at half and found a way to come back. Against Indiana, they went up 21-0 at halftime and had to hold off a furious comeback from Indiana with a goal line stand in the final couple minutes. Virginia goes up by a touchdown heading into the fourth, and then Louisville finds a way to get back-to-back big plays in the span of just a couple minutes, and they pull it out there. I mean, this is a team that no matter who they're facing, no matter what the situation, no matter what the quarter is, they're going to fight until the very last snap.
Yeah, those guys, that to me, that's a team that's a team that's – some would say I don't know if it reminds you of TCU last year, but that team's dangerous. I mean, you do not get them in the playoff, because if they get in the playoff, if they somehow get into a playoff, they're going to be a very tough out in a playoff. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. But I think a playoff is probably out of the picture just because the committee, as we saw last night for the selection show.
Yeah.
I mean, Louisville, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have arguably the worst loss out of any, like, college football playoff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The Pitt loss is just completely inexcusable. I mean, but
– you can't have that. You can't have that.
Yeah.
I was looking at their best players. I mean, to me on defense, the one that stood out to me was Aston Jalot with 9 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, and 29 tackles. That guy is very good. I've seen he is very good, and he's very disruptive on the outside.
Oh yeah, no, he's got probably one of the highest motors out of any player I've seen in the last few years. And there have been some pretty solid edge rushers over the last decade come through Louisville. I mean, by God, there were several of them during the Charlie Strong era. But no, he's got a relentless motor. As soon as he got on campus as a freshman, he was an impact player because he went from 220 pounds to 270-ish in the span of just a few months. Wow. I mean, this guy's got an incredibly violent attack. He uses his hands really well, and he's got good power from his legs. I mean, he is someone – I mean, this is a guy who went up against Joe Alt in the Notre Dame game. Wow. And he was able to push him back. And this is a guy who hadn't given up a sack in about 2-ish years, and he was able to bully him on a few occasions. Like, this – just to give you an idea of how much power and how much violence that Jelati operates with.
Yeah, and another guy that really stands out to me is two guys, T.J. Quinn, who's their leading tackler, by the way, with 59 tackles and half a sack. And also Devin Neal on the back end with 4 INTs. I mean, that's a pretty solid – just some pretty solid players there.
Yeah, they've got good, solid players at each level. I mean, Quinn's probably the biggest surprise, I would say, on the entire defense, just because heading into the season, the linebacker room was probably viewed as the biggest weak link because they lost Yasir Abdullah, they lost Monty Montgomery, they lost Momo Sanogo, they lost Dorian Jones, which were four of their top five sack and tackle for loss guys, and they're all linebackers. So with the transition from a 3-4 scheme to the 4-2-5 that they operate now, considering they lost all that production in the linebacker room, they didn't really have a lot of guys who were, you know, traditional middle linebackers. They had a couple guys, but they hadn't really had a lot of reps. But TJ Quinn, he's someone that has been really, really surprising. Like, no, his best work comes playing against the run. He's not normally someone who wants to, like, attack and try to get in the backfield and go after sacks and tackles for loss, but he is incredibly good at reacting to where the ball is going, reacting to where the ball carrier is going, reacting to what the play is, and he's able to routinely come up and stop ball, like, runners and ball carriers within the first yard or two past the line of scrimmage to, like, force a minimal gain and really keep the defense behind the sticks. So that's been one of the biggest developments in this whole defense. He's probably been one of the biggest X factors, if you ask me. And then Devin Neal on the back end. Honestly, both of the current starting safeties and Devin Neal and Cameron Kelly, they've really stepped up when their number is called, because they were not the starting safeties entering the that we were predicting to enter the season. They were going to be MJ Griffin and Josh Minkins. And then in fall camp, MJ Griffin, who I thought was one of a few guys who was going to be a bona fide NFL draft pick this coming April, he suffers a lower leg injury and he's now out for the year. So someone's got to step up there. And then with Josh Minkins, he had a hammy issue that he was dealing over the first month, so he was limited and he's kind of disappointed a little bit in his play. So someone else had to step up in the safety room. So both Devin Neal and Cameron Kelly have played really well. Devin Neal's been excellent in coverage. He's been an opportunistic type of guy who makes plays when plays are happen to be coming his way. And then Cam Kelly, he's been someone who's played really well around the box and played the run really well. And when they're having moments where he's asked to drop more back in coverage, even though he's a strong safety, he's held his own on that end as well.
Yeah, another thing I looked at here, the former Miami players that were on our roster, Gilbert Frierson, is he still with you guys at Louisville?
He is. He actually made a good play in the Virginia Tech game. He got an interception off of a wide receiver screen. So he's not a starter, but he's a role player in the star position in this current offensive scheme. But he's not getting a ton of play time, but he's definitely carved out, like, a nice, like, niche role in just, like, a few snaps a game.
Yeah, I think has the coaching staff lean on him a little more this week, knowing that he's going back to play his former team?
I'm sure they're going to lean on him a little bit just to, you know, ask him, like, okay, what kind of schemes, like, who are some of the personnel, like, who stands out here, what's their weaknesses, what's their strength? Because I know for the
for us,
the Virginia Tech game, they kind of leaned on Devin Neal, because both him and Kyron Jones, Virginia Tech's quarterback, they both came from Baylor last season, so they kind of leaned on him a lot. And then we saw what Louisville was able to do to Virginia Tech. They damn near held them to a shutout. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen against Miami, not at all. But I know for a fact that they're going to lean on Gilbert Frierson a lot just to kind of pick his brain as to, like, what some of the Miami guys that are still there when he was there, like, what they're capable of.
Yeah, now basically we know we have our Miami's receiver, key receiver this year, Colby Espin, Xavier Streppo, who has 60 passes. And that's Tyler Van Dyke's favorite target. Tyler Van Dyke, by the way. Man, Tyler Van Dyke had the hot start. But since then, 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 12 interceptions total, 16 touchdowns. How are they preparing to face Van Dyke? And by chance, are they looking at maybe possibly Ja'Cory Brown if Ja'Cory Brown happens to play in this game?
I would think if it is Tyler Van Dyke.
Which it is going to be Van Dyke. Mario announced it this week.
Oh, he did? Okay, cool. Yeah, since they're going to be facing Van Dyke, I would think that they would probably want to dial up the pressure a little bit just because I've watched a couple of Miami games. Obviously, I don't know them as much as you do. Yeah. But from what I've seen out of TVD, it seems like he's made a lot of hurried throws. He's not like a big scrambler, and he's not been one to really target running backs for dump-off passes in case pressure does come his way. So if Louisville – if I was a coaching staff, and by all means, I'm not a coach, but in my unprofessional opinion on that front, I would probably dial up the pressure to force him to get rid of the ball and try and force the ball downfield and maybe force him to make a mistake. I mean, you've watched Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah,
I mean,
Tyler Van Dyke's been awful the last. Our fans just really want to crucify him. They want to see him go in the portal this offseason because he's been absolutely horrible. I think it has to do with his mental state, you know, quite honestly, his mental thing. I mean, I don't know what it is with Van Dyke, but my God, Van Dyke's been awful the last five couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then he looked really good in that that non-con slate. I really thought he was starting to round back into his ACC Rookie of the Year form, but man, once ACC play started, he's just lost out there.
Yeah, a couple of things I look at when I look at Louisville. These guys are 22nd in the country in turnover margin at a +6. These guys force turnovers. So protecting the ball, in my opinion, is going to be very critical in this game. What say you on that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, the turnover margin, I'm surprised it's as high as it is because Jack Plummer, the quarterback, while he's done like a pretty good job as a game manager type, he has been had a propensity to kind of turn the ball over and have just inexplicable boneheaded decisions. But then the offense kind of counters that by – like they don't put the ball in the turf a lot. They don't fumble it hardly at all. And then on the other side, like I said earlier, this is a really opportunistic defense where if there is a play to be made, more often than not, they're not going to let it slip out of their grasp and they're going to make plays. They're going to fly to the ball to try and force fumbles out. They're going to swarm in pass coverage and try and get drape all over receivers, whether they're in man or in zone. Whenever there's a play to be made, like they more often than not make it.
How are they preparing to deal with Miami's running game, knowing they have four different backs Miami can go to at the same time?
I would think they would, like I said, they'd probably want to get the coaching staff involved and try and confuse the Miami offensive line because their O line is pretty good but Louisville has faced some pretty solid O lines this season and had like a decent amount of success against them. So it's really going to come down to the coaching staff being able to scheme them up free, because this is a scheme that relies a lot on winning one-on-one matchups at times, or at least it has been in the majority of the time of the year. But there have been some instances where they have to employ a lot more stunts and twists, and they would really want to dial up some exotic pressures to really confuse the ball carrier as to where they're going. So I think Ron English has to cook up a really good game plan to kind of bottle them up at the line of scrimmage, because while Louisville has done a good job at kind of winning at the point of attack, I mean, Miami's got a good offensive line, and this has also not been the same team away from home as they are at home. So I think it's going to be critical for the coaching staff to kind of cook up a game plan to try and confuse the offensive line and more and not so more so rely on the guys to win one-on-one battles.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, when I look at their off Louisville's offense, how are they preparing to deal with an absolute beast in Reuben Bain on the outside?
They just have to play. The tackles have to be really disciplined, and it's not going to be easy just because the offensive line has been one that's been battling a lot of injuries as of late. After the Pitt game, their starting right guard, Renato Brown, he went down for the season after slipping in pregame warmups. Brian Hudson, the center, he's been playing hurt for a lot of the season. Willie Tyler, he's been a game time decision for the last couple games, but he was able to play for the majority of the game. So these guys are playing hurt, and they're going to have to communicate. And they've done a really good job at communicating. The issue is that while they're good at pass protection, their ability as run blockers, and you'll look at the stats and you'll see, oh, they must be great at bulldozing the holes open for the running backs, and they've been kind of. And they've done a decent job of opening up slight holes, but they haven't been consistent in getting those absolutely bulldozing holes to where a running back doesn't really need to do much. It's more so a statement on how good the running backs have been this year. I mean, Juwan Jordan's one of the top backs in the ACC, and then you've got two guys behind him in Isaac Garrido and Maurice Turner, who round up a really solid running back room. And thank God for that, because if Louisville didn't have that, I'm not sure they'd be able to get like a ton going on the ground, just because their run blocking has been kind of okay to mediocre. So it's going to be paramount that they try and communicate, get some double teams on Bain and a couple other guys around the D line and front seven, like Francisco Maloga, because this is going to be a team that's going to bottle up the run and try and pressure them as much as they can.
Yeah, no, and I looked at the stats on the defense. Louisville has a pretty good rush defense, but I think this is going to be who can pass the ball better, who can make the fewest mistakes. Because when I look at both statistically, defensively against the run, these are two top 10 defenses against the run.
Absolutely.
That was surprising to me.
Yeah, and it's going to be paramount for Louisville in the same to kind of control the edges, just because early in the season, their defensive line was kind of hit or miss when it came to like setting the edges. So there were sometimes that they were facing a mobile quarterback, or if there were times where running backs were kind of hitting the edges, they had trouble kind of getting around tackles at times and allowing either a quarterback to escape the pocket or allow running backs to get, you know, solid gains on the ground on stretch plays and outside zones and things like that. And that kind of appeared a little bit in the Virginia game. They didn't really put a spy on Anthony Calandria and allowed him to escape the pocket several times after the D-line just kind of overshot them on some of their rushes. And then, like, they got a couple gains on the ground just kind of beating on the edges. So that's going to be something that Louisville absolutely has to do with the amount of quality backs that Miami has. Because it's not like they're going to just throw out one guy and just run him out there constantly. They're going to throw out Cheney. They're going to throw out Parrish. They're going to throw out Fletcher. They're going to keep their backs fresh. So it's going to be paramount for them to, like, consistently try and win on the edges so that no matter what back is in there, they'll be able to keep them bottled up, just because they're not going to get worn down as the game goes on, like, you know, some teams out there who rely on just one back to do the bulk of their damage.
Yeah, I mean, that's we've done that this year. But, yeah, Matt, I got to ask you this. You give me your keys to the game on Saturday, and I'll give you mine.
I think for Louisville, the key has to be Jack Plummer, because there have been games there have only been one game where he outright cost them, and it came on the road, and it came in a game where Louisville outgained Pitt by 150 and they lost by 3 scores. And it was because Jack Plummer just did not have a good feel for the pocket that game. He made a few really awful decisions, and he made a couple of them in the Virginia game, and it very nearly cost them then. If Miami is just stacking the box and not allowing Louisville to get anything going on the ground, he's going to have to be more efficient than he has been in some other road games this season. He's going to have to get in a rhythm. He's going to have a better feel for the pocket. And when I say that, I mean, like, not walk straight into D linemen who are closing in, kind of have a feel for where the pressure is coming so that he knows when to get the ball out. And something that he's had trouble with early in the season, oddly enough, was intentional grounding penalties. Some were just blatantly unnecessary. And then there have been two or three times this season where he just has an inexplicable throw where you look at it and you go, what in the world was he thinking? I mean, he had one in the Virginia game where he threw a pick six to a linebacker that was maybe 10 yards in front of him that he didn't even see. So if Jack Plummer can be efficient, not force too many things, and just play sound football, I would like my Louisville's chances in this game.
Yeah, I think for the keys for Miami to pull the upset, and on senior day, by the way, is one, Tyler Van Dyke has to have a big game. Tyler Van Dyke needs to be the Tyler Van Dyke from early in the season, not the one we've seen the last couple weeks with five touchdowns and 11 interceptions. That cannot happen. Two, I need to see the running game really, really step up in this game. And one thing we have not done this year is we have not utilized the tight ends as much. You know, I like to see a little, hopefully I see a little more of that in this game. I don't know if we will. Defensively, you know, we're very good against the run. You know, basically, like I said, force mistakes from Plummer. You know, also do not let George, I'm reading George's nearly 1,000-yard rusher. You know, we got to make sure we contain Jordan. And that's a big guy. And do not let Jack Plummer give time to throw, because, you know, if he does, he's going to hit those receivers. And they have a very good receiver in Thrash, who has 735 and 49 and out of 72 targets, 49 of catches, six touchdowns. We got to make sure we don't let Guarendo beat us. I mean, Guarendo has nearly 500 yards rushing this year and seven touchdowns. You know, and he's very good out of the backfield. Thing we can't do is we can't, and above all, do not turn the ball over. I mean, you cannot, if basically put, Miami doesn't turn the ball over, I think Miami has a very good shot to win this ball game. That's the way I see it. Matt, we'll let you go on this. Give me a prediction for Saturday.
I'm going to go Louisville 24, Miami 20. I think Miami's defense very good. I think their defense matches up really well with Louisville's offense, and that Louisville loves to run the ball, but Miami is really good at bottling the run. But as far as the offense goes, Tyler Van Dyke's just looked awful since ACC play started. He's gotten benched already, and they have to go back to him now that Emory Williams is out. You have to wonder about how his psyche is and where his mental is. So, I mean, while I do think the Miami defense will more than give them a shot, I think Tyler Van Dyke, I mean, I've seen enough of him over the last couple weeks to think that he's might be due for an interception, maybe two. So I would say Louisville 24-20 over Miami.
Matt, I've always said two things. I mean, mentally, like you said, with Van Dyke, I mean, he sat, we benched him twice this year. He has to go back to him after the unfortunate injury to our other quarterback, Emory Williams, and it really stinks to see that happen. Hopefully the kid will be back in the spring. The thing is with Van Dyke, he really doesn't have to do too much. And now I'm hoping he doesn't have to do too much. If the running game's on its game and the defense makes some plays, I think Miami can win this ball game, but Miami cannot turn the ball over. If Miami does not turn the ball over, I think Miami has a shot maybe to win this ball game. I think if Miami turns it over, like you said, twice, maybe three times or more, if we lose the turnover battle, Miami loses the game. That being said, it's senior day. It's going to be the last home game for the seniors and maybe some players on the roster, starters that might be going to the draft, like Cameron Kitchens and James Williams. I'm going to say Miami 27, Louisville 21. It comes down to a play late. Defense makes the play late to seal the victory. Matt, I want to take this time to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, and we will do this. Hopefully have a safe – I don't know if you're going to South Florida Saturday.
I will not be. I'm hoping if Louisville does go to the Orange Bowl, I'll absolutely be going to that.
All right, listen, safe travels wherever you go. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll talk again down the road.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you, Matt. Hey, good afternoon. Malik, how you doing, man? Thank you for filling in for me last week, by the way.
Nah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. We're just waiting for our main guest, Kent Spencer from WHAS in Louisville. And we're going to hopefully get the Hugh Herd pod in here as well. And we're going to get this thing started.
All right, perfect. Sounds good with me.
Hey, While we wait, Malik, couple. You know what stood out to me?
What's that?
It stood out to me. Okay, we got Kent Spencer, ladies and gentlemen. Kent Spencer's on from WEC Sports Director at WHAS in Louisville. Canes and the Louisville Cardinals Saturday afternoon, 12 noon at Hard Rock Stadium in the Canes home finale. And he has a few minutes to take to join us. Kent, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Kent. Kent, well, let me tell you what stands out to me when I look at Louisville. When I watch the numbers, and the thing that stands out to me is not Louisville's offense, which we know is pretty good. It's their defense. Their defense is very good. What do you expect going into this game, Kent?
No, I mean, you're 100% right. Look, the defense has kind of carried this football team and actually kind of forced Jeff Brohm to play a little bit differently offensively than he has in the past. You know, when he was the head coach at Purdue and then he was the head coach at Western Kentucky, they had trick plays. They threw the ball all over the field. You know, running back was just something that they put on the field every now and again. But this year, because the way they've played defensively, you know, offensively, Louisville has kind of really leaned on a rushing attack and that offensive line to get the job done for them, which has been big. And, you know, one of the things that they've kind of hung their hat on defensively, and you know, I haven't heard of a lot of defensive coordinators doing this, but they put a lot of pressure on their outside cornerbacks to make life very difficult for teams to throw easy passes to the wide receivers out wide. And that allows their inside guys to be able to pin their ears back and come after you. And to this point, it's been very successful.
Malik, you want to ask Kent the question on this?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I really see, and it's something that's definitely came to light, is, you know, Jeff Brohm's ability, especially offensively, to use different personnel groupings and really formations. Like, one thing I've really watched and I really like is that they give the defense a ton of formation. They obviously run a lot of plays. But for me, you know, whenever you're on defense, obviously your coverage is kind of dependent on, you know, where people are lined up, especially how much man Miami plays. You know, that's one thing that, you know, I at least said that I really like about Louisville. You kind of notice, you know, the difference in, like, concepts and formation things that Louisville has ran throughout the year.
No, you're 100% correct. He'll throw a lot of eye candy out at you. But especially, you know, one of the things I think really ever since the Pitt game, when they went up there and lost the tough one on the road, they're still doing the eye candy, but I'll tell you right now, they're running downhill. And they've got a couple pretty good backs that have been able to do that with Jawar Jordan and Isaac Garendo, who was a Wisconsin transfer. And in fact, a couple years ago, Jawar Jordan was kind of buried on the depth chart at Syracuse, actually started that way last year at Louisville. The back half of the season, they had some injuries, and he really took advantage of it. And both of those guys have been running extremely hard behind their offensive line. You know, Jack Plummer, when they've opened up the offense a little bit, he's been susceptible to a little bit of a roller coaster ride. He's turned the ball over a couple times. So they've really tried to have him manage the game. And that's, they've really leaned on that ground game, especially, I would say, ever since the Duke game, Duke, Virginia Tech, and then Virginia last week. It's really been the ground game for them.
Hey, by the way, we have Ben from You Heard Pod joining us. Ben, thank you for coming on. You have a question for Kent Spencer?
Yeah, Kent. How do you see the matchups going with our defensive secondary and Louisville's wide receiver game, as far as what they do with the quarterback and how Brohm draws up those plays?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in this kind of a game, I think Brohm will lean, you know, heavily on play action within the passing game. And they have a philosophy, and this has been the philosophy for a long time. It kind of actually goes back to Bobby Petrino when he was at Louisville. It's simple. Feed the studs. And so you kind of have to identify who Louisville sees as their studs. We've talked about the rushing attack, but in the passing game, it really has been Jamari Thrash out wide. He is a guy that they have gone to time and time again this season. You know, he can, for some odd reason, you know, a lot of teams, they end up losing him in the passing game, and he's been the clear-cut number one guy for Jack Plummer. So I would look for him to be a top target, but, you know, more so than anything, I think that they are going to use the play action game, and you know, they can get pretty deep in their bag when it comes to that.
Hey, we got Joe Williams on. Joe, you have a question for Kent?
He's from New York. Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good, good, Joe. What do you got for Kent, man?
I don't have a question yet because I just popped on, but I'll
okay,
have
well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on, by the way. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir.
The thing I'll point out here also when I look at the film on him is basically Jack Plummer had a solid day, but he's been inconsistent. Okay. The thing we have to do, I think one key for us, and I think all of you can agree on this, for Miami to win, they have to pressure Plummer. Now, how is on the other side, Louisville's offensive line, how are they preparing to deal with Reuben Bain? I mean, everyone's talked about Reuben Bain this year.
You know, as far as playing against one particular guy, I mean, you know, honestly, with Louisville's offensive line, it starts at the center position with Brian Hudson. And Austin Collins is a guy who had to come in. He's playing right guard right now. He's a guy who had to come in, you know, pretty much in the warmups for the Pitt game, because that's when, you know, their starter, Renato Brown, went in during warmups with a knee injury. He's done for the year. Austin Collins had to move over from backup center to starting right guard. But for them, Brian Hudson is really the kind of quarterback of that offensive line. You know, all centers make the play calls, but he is playing at a very, very high level this year. He used to be at Virginia Tech, transferred in a couple years ago to Louisville, and has been very solid for them up front. So I think all the calls, goes, you know, it starts with Brian Hudson and kind of works their way out from there.
Yeah, no question. I definitely agree in that. The thing I look at, if anyone wants to chime in. The thing, like you said, the running game, I was looking at Louisville's numbers in the running game. Louisville's defense is ninth against the run and Miami's is sixth against the run. So basically you may not see a lot of rushing. You may see a lot of aerial circus in this game. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, look, you know, I know that Louisville will continue. It's kind of been their bread and butter, right? Like, you know, let the defense kind of carry the way for you. And when you look at the numbers, honestly, between the Canes and the Cards, like, they're really, really similar. You know what separates these teams when I was looking at it? Turnover margin.
Yep.
You know, Louisville's plus six. Miami is what, minus five right now. I mean, you know, like, if you look at Saturday, honestly, whatever team takes care of the football and can do that, that's the team that's going to win the game.
I agree.
I mean, it's just been such a disparity to this point so far. Because if you go down the stats, if you look at offensive stats, if you look at defensive stats, you know, they're both of these teams are very, very similar, especially when it comes to the points allowed, you know, total offense, total defense. They're almost neck and neck here.
Hey, anyone? Okay, Joe, Ben, or Malik, you have anything you want to add to that, or you want to ask Kent?
I'm good.
All right. Okay. Another thing I look at here, when I look at him, I said the thing that really stands out to me also is the post-snap RPO on their offense. See, Plummer likes to freeze the defensive end. That means our ends have to stay home. To me, that's what it has to come down to. I mean, Plummer's been inconsistent, basically. But Tyler Van Dyke, everyone down here, Joe, Ben, Malik can coincide with this. It's like, where is the Tyler Van Dyke from early in the season gone? Where is he gone?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and answer that one.
Go ahead.
I think a combination of multiple offensive coordinators. So, you know, I'm not big on excuses, but I will say, depending on the offensive coordinator that you're with, everyone's going to have a different mentality. Everyone can run the same play and it'd be a different progression. That's definitely one thing I learned at Georgia, because there were plays that I learned through Mark Richt that Todd Monken had, but he added one or two routes and it completely changed the progression. So understanding where your guy wants you to read, and then also just kind of learning. So I think that, you know, between three OCs, learning how they want, and then obviously I think he had a good run, and then he had a little bit of trouble between the drop eight. I will say I think some of that is on him, but I also think some of that's on the play calling, because you go back and look on our third and longs when it's third and 12 and people are going drop eight, which Louisville does do it. They did it legit the first snap versus Duke. You'll watch it. They rush three, drop eight, and they wind up even getting a sack on that play. So it's something that they're definitely going to see. So my biggest thing is to create confidence in Tyler. Give him routes that get the first down, but give him multiple options where it's like, hey, when they do this coverage and they go to drop eight, three deep, these are the windows you should hit. These are the timings that you should be. Make him feel super comfortable going, hey, I'm confident that I know this guy should be open. And if he's not, it's going to pull two defenders, and now this guy's open. And I feel like at least in the past, there's been times where no one's been open. He's been having to check it down or trying to force the ball down the field. And again, a combination of him forcing it and, you know, the offensive coordinator. So for me, for Tyler, it's going to be building a good script that, you know, has not only man beaters, but also the drop eight beaters. And you know how it is, establishing the run game. I think his biggest thing is hitting Xavier, and the only way for us to be able to do that is to get the linebackers downhill to make sure that, you know, when we do a little bit of play action pass and things like that, they're not just flooding the zone. So I think this game is really going to be a testament to Dawson, you know, clearing out his head and getting him prepared versus a very, very good Louisville defense. Obviously, we know that they have Gilbert Frierson, so there's some guys that personally are either from Miami or played for Miami. So if you're not telling me they don't want to come down to Miami, beat Miami, and feel good about it, you're lying to yourself. So I think a lot of it does have to come down to Dawson making TBD feel comfortable, because on strength, that stuff, NFL measurable, he has. But for some reason, when people go that cloud covers drop eight, he struggles. And so they got to make him feel comfortable when teams get into that coverage versus him.
Yeah, the kicking game is another thing. Kent, I'll ask you this also before I get to the kicking game. Has the staff and the players leaned more on Gilbert Frierson this week than in the past?
You know, I would imagine, you know, they haven't really talked about that extensively this week, but when you have a guy that's been in that room before, that's been on those sides, of course, you know, you'd be crazy not to pick their brain. You know, Gilbert plays a little bit, you know, for the Louisville defense. He doesn't play a ton, but look, when you have inside knowledge, you're going to use that. You guys were talking about Tyler Van Dyke, you know, and one of the things that this Louisville defense has done, and it really kind of started, I want to say, back around the Notre Dame game, is if you're an offense, you better be in manageable down and distance situations against this defense. Because, and it doesn't have to be third and long. It can be second and long. The moment that they get you behind the chains, they're pinning their ears back and they're coming. And they got dudes that can get home. You know, Ashton Gelati, Mason Reiger, they're kind of a matchup problem for offensive lines, and they've been coming home. And, you know, if you don't take care of business on first down, it could be a long series for you, you know, offensively. That's one of the things that you know, you guys talk about, maybe like Shannon Dawson and Van Dyke. They're going to want to take care of business on first down.
Yeah, I've looked at their first down numbers, Kent, and the thing that stood out to me is on first down defense, they are eighth in the country. They only allowed 154 first downs this year. That is amazing.
Yeah, and once they get you behind the sticks, I mean, they're really, really coming. They, you know, they obviously, all defenses want to hang their hat on third down defense, but they feel like they really look at that, and they feel like once they get you in third down and really get you behind the sticks, that's when they can come, and they can pretty much come from anywhere.
Yeah, and guys, Joe, Ben, man, you want to add something to that?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm in the car driving.
Hey, that's okay, Joe. We were just talking about how Louisville's defense tends to pin their ears back, especially after first down. But if you're in sec, you don't want to have. But if you're in trouble behind those sticks, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you. We know we're going to have to be careful with that. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Nope. Yeah, I'll say I agree. But, I mean, even outside Louisville, I think that's with any defense. I mean, we've seen our struggles versus Virginia. We've seen our struggles versus Georgia Tech. You know, anytime you give a defense to me, I think third and seven plus – they're going to do one of two things. I think if you're an aggressive defense like Louisville, you're going to blitz, you're going to do some coverage behind it, or they're going to do the drop eight, which is what Georgia Tech did. Like, hey, we're going to make you beat us with your arm. So teams know we like to run. I mean, back at every game from pass, I would say from Clemson on. It's been a ton of run. It's been very simple pass game. So for us, you know, staying in the 3-4, 3rd-and-3 is going to really help us, because you technically can't get too crazy, because if you do, then there is a run game aspect that can come along as well. So to me, you know, first down is going to be the biggest thing. What are we doing on first down? To me, I don't want every first down to be a run play. You know, there has to be a sprinkling of RPO. There has to be some play action pass. Even has to be first down, just simple pass game, quick game, you know, three steps. It's maybe an arrow concept to one side and double turn to the other. Something that simple, but that gets you into second and manageable, so that now if you want to run an inside zone and you don't get it, you're at least in 3rd-and-5, 3rd-and-4. So I think that's going to be one of my big keys is what are we doing on first down to help us get in, you know, the second and third and manageable.
All right, Kent, Keith. Okay, let me ask you this. Now we're talking keys to the game. Kent, keys to a Louisville win.
Keys to the Louisville win for me is keep the turnovers down, the turnover margin. Make sure that you can establish a run game. I know that's easier said than done against this Miami defense, but you got to be able to establish the run game. And one of the things in a game like this is it's the explosives, especially for Miami at home. Louisville has to limit the amount of explosives that they are giving up. I think if they do those three things, because I feel solid about their defense, I think if they do those three things, that could lead to a victory. And then for them, that's clinching a spot in the ACC championship game.
Okay. Ben, Joe, and Malik, keys to a Miami win.
For me, it's simple, man. It's going to be getting TVD in a rhythm, getting his confidence back. I think our defense speaks for itself. They bend but don't break, but if they see TVD having a good day out there, they'll have more confidence. And getting a solid win against a ranked opponent is pretty clear cut for me. It's just it comes down to TVD, because then everything else opens up.
Okay, who's speaking? You Joe or you Ben?
Oh, that was Ben.
Okay, Ben, Joe, your keys to a Miami win. I think Joe might have some connection issues there. We'll get back to Joe. Malik, your keys to a Miami win.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with Ben. I think on the offensive side, it's getting Tyler Van Dyke going. I do not think you're going to beat a good Louisville team, whether you're at home or not, being one-dimensional. They give you a lot of issues on offense, so we're going to have to score. So getting him going, getting him comfortable early, you know, I don't want to see us under, I would say, 10 points in the first half. I at least want, you know, 10, 13 points so that, you know, in the second half we're not playing catch-up. And then on defense, to me, it's going to be turnovers. This Louisville team is good. They give you a lot of problems. They do have really good receivers. So, you know, creating turnovers, creating some energy on defense, you know, is one thing in 2017. I think our defense did a great job of was having turnovers and kind of helping, you know, the offensive side, you know, kind of create them. So, you know, really the secondary creating havoc and not making it easy for Jake Plummer, because he is a good quarterback. And if he gets hot, it's going to be a very long day for us.
Hey, okay, Joe, are you back? Give me your keys to the Canes win, to a Canes win.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Your keys to a Canes win.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree with everybody on the offensive side, getting TVD comfortable, limiting turnovers. I think on the defensive side, definitely stopping the run and getting Louisville in third and longs and being able to pressure the quarterback, causing turnovers.
Yeah, I agree. I concur with a lot of this as well. I think we have to do the same thing. Also, let me add something else for a Canes win. Do not commit stupid penalties. Do not commit stupid penalties in key situations. Don't get behind the six because of self-inflicted mistakes. Absolutely. We say like third and like in short yardage, I think we can win this ball game. But we all know Louisville's very good on third downs. We got to stay out of third and longs because these guys will pin their ears back. And also something else, Kent, before I go, in the red zone. These guys are third in the nation in red zone defense. So it's imperative you get 7 points when you get the opportunity to do that. And can't settle for field goals against this defense because they are very good. They are very, very good. All right, so guys, I'm going to get you out of here on this. Give me predictions for the game Saturday. I'll start with Kent.
Yeah, so I'm going to say my prediction is I think Louisville actually gets it done. They win it because they've had a little bit of longer week. They played Virginia last Thursday, had a chance to get healed up a little bit and a little bit of extra time to prepare. So I think Louisville wins this one 27-21.
Okay, Joe.
I think Miami goes out as senior day. So I think they play motivated, man, and get it done. I will say 24-21, Miami.
Ben.
I think Miami gets it done 24-17. I think TVD has put some good stuff on tape, and the seniors and fifth-year juniors show up and show out. So, yeah, 24-17, Miami.
Malik.
Honestly, I got a shootout. I got it 35-33. Nice. Miami, I think that TVD will obviously do something at home. I think they'll have a good game plan. I think that, you know, they're just going to say, man, go have fun. But I also think we're going to have to score. Again, Louisville has a great offense. So if we don't score in the 30s, I think that it's going to be a long day for us.
I'm going to go 27-21, Canes, the senior day. I really think the defense will make a play late to seal the victory because Plummer's prone to mistakes. You know, if we can force mistakes, force a turnover, and the turnovers you do get, you got to take advantage of. And basically, I think it comes down to the end. I think we'll make a play late to seal the win. That's why I'm going with 27-21 Canes. Kent, Ben, Joe, Malik, thank you all very much for coming on today. Greatly appreciate it. Kent, I don't know if you're going to Miami Saturday, but if you are, a safe trip. If not, we'll talk again down the road.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me, man. I enjoyed it.
Hey, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Kent. Thank you, Malik.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.